Okay, had to make sure I turned that on. I hope I turn it off when it's time to turn off. I have this notes in front of me. You know, I saw something so huge, so vast, that my mind, my physical mind, has a hard time of grasping. I have notes in front of me just to help me stay in a way that I can deliver it so that you can hear it. Because I want to go everywhere all at the same time. And so I just want you to know that's why I have this in front of me. I never get through it all. I never do. And you might as well go ahead and say now, you that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you might as well go ahead and say, that Dean Braxton did not tell me the half of it when you get there. All right? I know what John felt like. I know what Ezekiel felt like trying to explain something of where our Father, God is, and Jesus is, which we call heaven. You know? And put it in English words. I wish I knew another language. Maybe I could explain it a little bit better in somebody else's language, to be honest with you. But I understand what it means. I understand the terms that they used and why they used them, because that was what was around them at the time. And they were trying to take this experience that they have and take it and bring it down here and have us understand it to the best of their ability. And that's what I try to do now. Before I go any farther, I want to say a couple of things. Number one is that there's more than 100 people here. I say that to you because I did record this. Me and my wife did record this on CD. And we brought 100 pair. That's all. Just 100 pair. We used to ask for offerings from, and you can give offering if you want. But we do not deny anyone from taking any of those CDs. We've had people all over the country write us and ask us to send them a CD. And guess what we do? We send them the CD. And if they want to give, that's up to them. One of the things I told the Father, that I was not in this to make money. You know, he sent me back for a reason. And I can tell you this. I could be a millionaire today and still, it wouldn't even come close to what I experienced. Okay? I'm serious. The toys we have here, whoo! I tell you. Bad thing about the toys we got here, I tell you right now, they all pass away. But where I was, it never passes away. Never. So, and I know someday I'm going back home.
Amen.
Home. In the 20th chapter of John, there's a story I want to just tell you about. And it's a story of Jesus. He had risen from the dead. And some of the disciples and apostles had seen him. And they go to a guy named Thomas and they tell him. And Thomas says, hey, I'm not going to believe this unless I can take my finger and put it into the holes in his hands. And take my hand and put it in his side. Well, Jesus shows up 8 days later, and says to Thomas, Thomas, I'm here. Go ahead. Take your finger and put it into my holes in my hand, and take your hand and put it into my side. And then Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. And Jesus says to Thomas, the 20th chapter, 29th verse, and I'm reading out of the New American Standard here. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. Just because I've seen Jesus doesn't make me any greater than anybody else here. And I tell you that because I don't want to be worshipped. I don't want nobody to say you were lucky. If anything, you guys, my dad said, you've been kicked out of better places now. All right? I just tell you that because I want you to understand the Father said and Jesus says that you're blessed. Just because you haven't seen, you are blessed. Do not lose sight of that.
We've been around to a number of churches and a number of places and spoke and told this story to many. And I've come to understand the different questions that people ask. They come from the different age groups, really. Children ask me questions, and when they ask me a question, they're usually asking me a question because they want to know where they're going. And is it fun? That's the main thing they want to know. Is it fun? Oh boy, is it fun. You that are conservative, you're not going to be conservative there. You might as well know that now. If you're worried about raising your hands here, I'm telling you now, you're not going to be worried about raising anything there. I'm just letting you know that. All right? The teenagers ask me questions, and mostly is that more information to formulate their beliefs, what they're going to believe in. Some adults ask me questions, and they ask me questions that are kind of different, but their questions are usually around, I kind of got this box for Jesus or for the God, and I want to know if you're going to confirm what I believe. That's what they usually ask. Not all the adults, but some. I had boxes for God. I believed a certain way. And when I got there, many of the things that I thought got blown apart. I had a hard time even coming back and telling people of what I saw, because they did not fit in what I thought it should be like. And yet he says, tell. Tell. So that's all I'm going to do is tell you what I saw. And then there's the elderly. They're like children. They mostly ask me because they know they're getting close to being there and they want to know what it's like. And there's some adults that ask in all those areas too. But that's the questions that are coming to me. I have a rule. Well, it's really not my rule. It's one that the Father gave me right after I came out off the ventilator, or just kind of spoke it to me. I don't usually tell you something unless it's been asked. If it's not been asked, I don't say anything about it. And that's mainly because I have to make sure that I do not receive the praise of my Father and my Lord. See, I was there. Only the Father and only Jesus get the praise. No matter what you think or how you look at it, they are the only ones that get the praise. I had the question, where is the Holy Spirit? But if we really understood where the Holy Spirit is, we wouldn't have all the problems we have today as Christians. He's with us. He's with us. He doesn't leave and come and leave and come. He stays with us. John, the 14th chapter, first verse through the 6th. I'll read that out of New American Standard. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. I was saying to your pastor, that is the only way. That is the only way. But understand, it is the best way. It's not one of many ways, and all of a sudden God decided, oh, well, I'll pick this way. If you know our Father, He always gives us the best. Amen. Jesus is the best way. Amen. When I first came off the ventilator or the breathing machine and they took the tube out of my mouth, I remember taking that first deep breath, and you that have been baptized know what I'm talking about. It's like coming out of that water for the first time. And there was a guy to the left of me named Anthony Jordan. Talked to him just yesterday. It was good to talk to him. And his job was to work with breathing machines, ventilators in the hospital in Tacoma General. He just happened to be a friend of mine. Happened. You understand what I mean? He just happened to be a friend of mine. No, God blessed him to be right next to my side. Okay? And I just met him February of that year. Here is May. And he's the one that's helping taking the breathing machine out of my mouth or the tube out of my mouth. And I looked at Anthony. And Anthony's a pastor of a church. And I looked at him. I said, the first words I said to him, I said, you know, I've seen Jesus. You go tell Monique. You go tell your church. You go tell them. We don't have to hope. We don't have to think that if there is a Jesus. Amen. Those were the first words that came out of my mouth. The very first words. And Anthony is a big, tall African-American. Got a beautiful, deep voice. And he just saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And tears were just coming down his face at the same time. My mom and my dad, as I was in that room, first came through the curtains. My wife didn't come through at first, but my mom and my dad came through. And my mom and my dad live in a town called Atwater, California. So they're from California. And they had been in Houston, Texas, visiting my mom's sister. So when they heard this had happened to me, they had to fly from Houston back to the Atwater area, get some clothes, and come up to Seattle. When they came through those curtains, in my mind, I was thinking, oh, something must have really been wrong here. And I thought to myself, I said, they don't ask your mom or your dad and your relatives of me unless you're dying or you died or they didn't think you would live. Yep. You know? And then my older brother came through that curtain. He also was from California. And I said, oh, I know there's something wrong here. But what happened was this. When I went to see the Father, when I went to see Jesus, the first time I went to see him, he said, no, it's not your time, go back. And I was okay with that. Okay, it's not my time. I can come back, that's okay. And then I went again. And he said, no, it's not your time, go back. And I cried. I didn't cry in my flesh, because my flesh was not there. It was my consciousness, which we call soul, and my spirit. And I cried on the inside. All right? And then the third time I went, he said, no, it's not your time. Go back. And I bawled like a baby. And the reason I bawled, the reason I cried, is not because I didn't love my wife or my family or anything like that. It was because everything was right. Yeah. Listen to what I just said. Everything is right. There's nothing wrong. It's past peace. Someone says it's peaceful. No, it's not peaceful. Everything is right. Hallelujah. There's nothing to be peaceful from. There's nothing to be peaceful from. And I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay. When he said the third time, no, it's not your time. Go back. The words came out of him. And I can remember later on thinking about this. I felt like I should have been afraid. I felt like I was getting ready to be blasted out of the universe. Because his words came out of him in such power. It seemed like if you were standing in front of those words, they were directed at me, they were going to blow you apart. They were coming toward me. They weren't for you. They were for me. And as they came out in that power, they kind of narrowed down like a cone shape, came inside of me. And I heard them. And it was total peace. Total joy. It was so calm, but it seemed like it shouldn't have been. But it was. When I was first there, when I first got there, I was at the feet of Jesus. He was kind of, I say, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock to the left of me. and I was down at his feet, and I was on my hands and knees, and I looked up at him and I said, "You did this for me? Thank you, 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 thank you." And what I was saying and what I was thinking is, you did this. You died on the cross so that I could be there. Thank you, 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 thank you. And I could have done that for the next 3,000 years or longer and not got tired. I knew I was there because of Him. Not because of what I did, but because of Him. Don't get me wrong. I live the Christian life. If someone needs prayer, I pray for them. If I see a homeless person that needs money or something like that, I give them money. I had walking the other day, somebody asked me, I had no money on me. He said, "Do you have a sandwich?" Yeah, I had a sandwich, so I gave him my sandwich. Do you understand? But none of that got me there. What got me there was what He did. And because I accepted Him as Lord and Savior. See, when He looked at me, He saw Himself inside of me. Understand that right now. All right? Jesus is not inside this body. He's inside our spirit. Because all that was there was my spirit. And that's what He saw. He saw Himself inside of me. And I knew at the time. I knew this. Understand this. I knew this at the time. I knew that I could look at Him. What color was He? He was bright. Bright. I still have not found a really good color to describe it. He was bright. He's brighter than the noonday sun, and yet you can look at Him. You that know Him, you will be able to look at Him. And I had pure joy. Pure joy. Not some joy. I always like to say, He give you what? He give you that joy that what? Unspeakable. You can't understand it. I had pure joy. And I looked at Him. I also knew this. I knew. See, the Bible says that when we die, to be absent in the body is be in the presence of the Lord. Everybody goes that way. You that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you go that way. You that don't know Him as Lord and Savior, you go that way. You go to His feet first. Understand that. And I went to His feet and I had pure joy. But I also knew those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when they come to the feet of Jesus, that's pure terror. That light is not a great light for them. They know what that means. They know what that means. See, they're not going to stay there. They're going to hell. We don't like to say that word too much anymore. But there is a hell. You know. Everything is right there. Everything is alive. No, grab it. Everything is alive. No, grab one more time. Everything is alive. Amen. There is no death there. God does not create death. The ground is alive. The air is alive. Do you hear what I'm saying? Everything is alive. The trees are alive and intelligent. Probably more intelligent than some of us here. I'm being honest with you. The mountains are alive. The atmosphere is alive. Everything's alive. God does not create death. That's hard for us to grasp because we, even to live, has to kill things. We got to kill the plants. We got to kill the animals. The air that we breathe in, we change. It goes out a different way. The water that we take in, we change it. It goes out a different way.
But everything is alive. There is no death there.
And if you think God stopped creating, you're wrong. He's still creating to this day. See, I used to think heaven was kind of small and only a few of us were going to get in there, you know, and that so he couldn't have a whole bunch of people or a whole bunch of beings there, all right, because it's small. Heaven is so vast. And that's the only where I can say that it comes even close to talking about how big it is, but it's vast. It's like me taking this piece of paper right here. All right. This is earth right here. See earth right here? And this room is heaven. See, we think we are the majority. We are the minority. Matter of fact, we're out of step with the rest of the universe. I'm just letting you know. Heaven is vast and everything's alive. Communication. The only words Jesus spoke to me were the ones I told you audibly. The rest of everything that he said to me, he'd look at me and he'd just download like a computer. Just downloaded inside of me. I felt like, now I'm not here, okay, but I felt like there, opening up your mouth and saying anything was a waste of time. Communication was just, you look at, bam, and dap, bam, and doop, bam, and bap, bam, and boop, bam. You know? You're connected to everything, and everything's connected to you. Everything is connected to you, and you're connected to everything. God's in everything. God's in everything. Nothing has life there without Jesus or the Father. Nothing. Think about that. You're connected to the Father. The Father is connected to everything else. You know, if we could really get that concept of just understanding how the Holy Spirit flows through us. Whoa. Do you understand? I like Pastor John. I was going to give him my whole, I work for King County Superior Court. I help manage the juvenile justice program down there, you know. And whenever I go to conferences, they always want your bio of what you did, all the great things you do and who you are and what school you went to and all that stuff. And that's us. That's humans. All right. And I told Pastor John, I said, Pastor John, do you want that? He said, no, you're a brother. See, his spirit connect with my spirit. Right. He knows. Amen. You know what I'm saying is true or not true. Yep. Your spirit is grabbing it. Your mind may have a hard time with some of it, but your spirit is grabbing it. See? Yep. See, I knew exactly where to go. No one had to tell me. When I died, they didn't have to say, okay, you're dead now. This is how we get up there. You go up to that star there, you take a right and take a left, and you go over there. And when you get to there, if there's a big guy there, don't worry about him. He won't hurt you. Keep on going. No, I knew exactly where to go. I almost said like salmon know how to get back home. No one had to tell me because of that spirit inside of me. Yeah. Understand that. Yeah. You will know exactly where to go. Mm-hmm. Yep. You will. You won't have to have a guide. I know you would like one, but you won't have to. You that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I keep on saying that for you that don't. You know where to go too. And when you get there, you're going to keep on moving. Well, let me not go there. Colors there are bright, brighter than anything here. Bright. I used to say the dullest colors there are brighter than the brightest colors here, but there ain't no dull colors there. There ain't none. Colors are alive. Everything's alive. Nothing's dead. Everything is alive. Time there. Someone said, well, you were dead only an hour and 45 minutes. How did you get all this information? I said, I don't know. No one there has a clock and they weren't keeping time. How do you keep time on everlasting?
See, we have an end of the age coming up. Most of us don't want that to really be there. That's why we try to prolong things. But no longer we can hold it off, maybe. But it's coming. This world is going to end. And it's not a bad thing if you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That's what all Revelation was about, is to say, this is going to end, but the life you're going to have afterwards is greater. Amen. When people say, I have a hard time understanding Revelations, I want to say, you got to understand what it was for. It was written for a book of encouragement. Yeah. Encouraging. Because of the time that the people were going through, it was a time that they were being persecuted and they needed some encouragement. I'm skipping over some things, only because time-wise. Jesus' face, let me describe that to you. His face is like liquid crystal. And when I first started saying this to people, it was hard for me to tell them this, but every time I looked at him, it seemed to change. Not a great change, but it didn't look the same every time. But it was like liquid crystal. And out of his face came colors. So many colors. More colors than I could describe to you. I say the rainbow plus. We'll be able to see every color that God has created. And there's a lot more colors than what we see here. A lot more. They were coming off of him. They were coming off of him in waves, like waves coming off of the ocean onto the shore. And they would just come and they were alive. Remember, everything's alive. Everything's alive. And they were coming off of him. And they were colors before you and they were around you. And they ran between you and they were in you. Just like the brightness. It was before you and around you. And it was in between you and around. I mean, in between you and coming out of you. Just like Jesus. He was before you. He was around you. He was in between you and he was coming out of you. I'm still having a hard time describing his hair or what was on his head. And I still have a hard time describing it. I have not really found words that I'm very pleased with talking about. Because that crown on his head is brighter than anything you could think of. And it's not a crown like you think it's a crown. I call it a crown because that's the only thing we got close to describing it. Because it's on the head. I'm telling you the truth. It's rays that go forever. And I know they have something to do with healing and I don't understand it yet. I don't. But those rays come off and they're just going and they're bright and they're beautiful. Beautiful. I was at his feet and his feet is like brass. Really, it's not his feet that is brass. It's I call it aurora. Have you ever seen the aurora lights? It's the shining around his feet that looks like brass. And it shines. Like you wouldn't believe. And his brass is like a metal, but metal is the closest I could come. And he got every color of it, every type of metal, but it's not metal like we think. And I'm sorry if I can't describe it, but that's what it is. But what got me about his feet was when I looked at his feet, they loved me. His feet loved me. I felt like there was no one else around and I was the only one he loved. When I looked at his hands, because I saw his hands, if he raised them up, it would say, I love you. His hands. His whole being seemed like he only loved me. Yet I knew he loved everyone else, but it felt like he only loved me. What is Jesus? Love. The Bible says that. If you understand that, when you go to praying and asking the Lord for something, if you understand how much He loves you, He loves you more than you could think He loves you. And I know you've heard that before. But no, He really does.
I had this conversation with him, and I don't know why I had this conversation with him, but I did. I work with kids. Been working with kids for over 30 years now. Love kids. Mostly teenagers, but I love kids. And I said to him, Lord, even the person, and I'll say it in the, I didn't say it these words, but I got children here, so I'll say it in this way. Even the person that's done kids wrong, you love them? And he said this to me. When you put a person in jail, they stay for a time, and then they get out. They either get out because their time is up, or they get out because they die. But they get out. But when we put a person in hell, they stay there for eternity. And then he said, who are you to nullify what I have done? Do you hear what I'm saying there? See, when I looked into his eyes, I saw the love for each and every person individually. How could you do that? Well, I was in a place where that is possible. If I thought about you, I would see the love just for you. If I thought about you, I'd just see the love just for you. Jesus loves everyone. And he died for everyone. You know what Jesus was doing when I was there? He was strategizing. Now, this really blew my box apart, Pastor. This is the one that really blew my box apart. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
I thought when Jesus died that he did everything he's supposed to do and he died on the cross and that's it. And he's not doing anything else. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He might have stood up at that time when Stephen's was getting martyred, you know, stoned. And he stood up at them, but then he sat back down. I thought that's what he did. But he was strategizing. And people asked me, they said, what was he strategizing about? The end of time, a great war, and all that stuff? No, he was strategizing how to get more people saved.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
See, he was standing here. There was a crescent of beings there. Some had been human beings, some had already been heavenly beings. There, they're just being. Okay? I'm just letting you know. They're just being. All right? And he was strategizing with them how to get more people saved. He has not stopped. And if you go in your Bible, you figure that out real quick. Because then my Father showed me. You go to the 8th chapter of Acts. You got Paul. He shows up as a bright light. And says, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, then you go over here and stay with this man here. And then he goes to another person in a vision, tells him to go over and tells that person how to get saved.
Yeah.
And you read from then on, you read more and more. Jesus has not stopped. You even know in your own life that the Lord Jesus Christ intervened so that you could be saved.
Amen.
Some of you, he came to you personally and spoke to you. Now, you ain't telling people because you don't want nobody to think you're crazy. I'm serious. Now that I've gone through this experience, do you know how many crazy stories I get to hear? That ain't crazy. Because our Father Jesus loves us that much. But he was strategizing. Another thing that he wanted me to make sure that I tell people is that there's two types of thinking or two types of spirit or beliefs in the church today. And they're both found in Revelation, the 3rd chapter. One's called the Philadelphia Church. You need to read it. The other one's called the Church of Laodicea. All right? Those are the two types. And it's not a denomination. It's not a just one building. That spirit is in churches on both sides.
Right.
Do you hear what I'm saying? I challenge you to read it. Find out which one you are walking in. But in the Laodicea, I didn't want to deal with those people anymore. The Laodicea side,
Because they were the ones that said, I'll go ahead and do the good things, but I really don't have any need of you, Jesus. Yeah. And yet he said, you're wretched and you're poor. That's what he said. But then he said this to me. He said, I love them still. You know, we use a scripture called, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
It's that church he's knocking on.
Right.
He still loves those people.
Yes.
He still wants them to have a relationship with him that's meaningful. He don't want them to be carnal Christians.
Right.
I don't know how you can be a carnal Christian, but that's the term I've heard lately. Carnal Christian. Because the Bible says that our flesh, our carnality, is what? At war with our spirit. You can't mix the two.
Yeah, right.
And you're saying, what are you talking about? If you put more into your resources than Jesus Christ, you're a carnal Christian.
Amen.
I'm not saying don't have those things. Do you understand? He wants to bless you with the things that you want to the material down here. But I'm saying if you make them Lord, and you know when you do, you know when you do, you know when you do, then you have not let him be your source. When I was going, you guys, I'm skipping through some things. I'm missing some things, and I apologize. But when I was going, I was moving fast. Someone said, well, you're going through a tunnel and all that stuff. I don't remember any of that stuff. I know I was here, and then I was there. Okay? As the Bible says, be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. I was moving faster than how long it took me just to say that. And I was there. This is something that also got me. The prayers that people were praying for myself and others was moving faster than me. They were shooting past me. They looked like shooting stars going past me. All right. I stopped at the feet of Jesus and the Father, because I could see the throne and I could see the Father. Jesus was here. The Father was over there. Okay. And those shooting stars or those prayers were just going like millions of them. They were just passing by. And there was two types. There was the prayers that people were praying and they knew the authority they were praying in. They understood what they were praying in. They knew. They knew that because of what they were praying, because the Bible said, if I pray this way, the Lord hears us. If the Lord hears us, he's going to answer. They understood that. And then there were the prayers that people prayed. And they really didn't understand. They didn't doubt, but they didn't understand, really, the power that they were praying in. They thought, I like to say it this way, they thought they were sending a firecracker. You know, pew, pew. You know? And yet the Lord was going to honor it as a nuclear bomb. And those prayers were going across. And I was down at the feet of Jesus. And I look up and I see all these prayers. It was a normal thing. It was normal. Okay, it was normal. It wasn't like, whoa, look at that. You know? It was just like, hey, I was connected to everything. Everything was connected to me. I was there. This is perfect. I'm in perfect joy. You know what I mean? Pure joy. I have all this going on. Okay, we got prayers going over. Okay. You know? But they were going to the throne. And when they got to the throne, you guys, this is, okay, it went out of my beliefs. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. The prayers literally went inside the Father.
Hallelujah.
They went inside of him. When I first realized that, and I said, Lord, I got to tell people. But people don't teach that. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, remind them of Moses and the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel were praying to me and Moses came to me and he, in the burning bush, you guys remember that? The burning bush, you heard that story? Ten Commandments, and then they had the new Moses and all that stuff. Okay? He said, when Moses came to me, he asked, he said, what should I call your name and who should I tell who you are? And he said, I am. Mm-hmm. And he said, the children of Israel were praying for a deliverer, for a savior, for a healer. And he said, I am their savior. I am the deliverer. I am their healer. He is the answer for your prayers.
Yes.
He literally answers the prayers with himself. I can't even really grasp my mind around that. But that's what I saw. And you understand this, your prayers don't have a shelf life. Do you hear what I'm saying? You prayed them, and God ain't forgot them. Someone asked me, well, what if you didn't pray it the right way? He understands your heart. That's where it comes from, your heart. You can change it all you want. It's your heart that he looks at. Someone said, well, does he do the prayers? Do they leave at the beginning or at the end of when you say something? I said, when your heart is ready, they go. He is the answer. See, the throne, and we look, and I dug, John knows. I just started because these things were outside of my box. But this is what I saw. So all of a sudden my boxes were not fitting inside of what, well, God wasn't fitting in the box. Seriously, he just wasn't doing it. He just wasn't doing what I thought he should be doing. Yeah. Well, you guys know, you think that way too sometimes. You know. And the throne wasn't a seat like I thought it should be a seat. It was a, I can't even describe it. But I do know this. God sits on the throne, and he is the throne. And all I can say is, who can make a throne for God?
That's true.
And everything is alive.
I've got more to describe here. I could describe the other beings, music, angels. But I'm going to describe this worship at the throne. I'm probably more fascinated with that than anything else. The Father is vast. He's big. He is really big. He isn't the pictures we see sometimes of this image just sitting on this throne. And you kind of like that and he's maybe like that. No. He's like this piece of paper. Some of you could see it, some of you won't. He's like me, and I'm this piece of paper, or this, you're that piece of paper in my hand. That small. You know those angels that go around and say, holy, holy, holy? You know what I'm talking about? You guys have read that in Revelations and Ezekiel? They go, holy, 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 and they fly around the Father going, holy, 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 thou art holy. Well, they're very small compared to God. I like to say, they kind of say, holy, 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 holy. I mean, compared to God. I'm serious. He's big. He's vast. I can't even really get my mind around him. I know, I say this because we're in his image. And I know the image that we're in is in God's image. And I know he has the same image. But I can't even put my brain or my thinking around it. And I'm trying to do that here, there. I didn't really care. There's a lot of things there you just don't care about. That you may care about here, but you don't care about there. You that are looking for a mansion to live in, you can have it if you want, but I'm going to tell you something. You're really not going to care when you get there. Everything is right. Everything is right. You know what I mean? You want one, you can have it. But I'm telling you right now, and it's going to be alive, just know that. No building there is not alive. Everything is alive. It's life. The atmosphere is alive. But there's the praise before the throne. And this is, where's the person that does the music? I want you to hear this. And who was singing, the group that was singing up? And okay, you all around, listen, okay. This is very important for you guys to understand this. Praise there is wilder than you ever think. But you think about it, you got a lot to praise him for. You're not going to be as quiet as you think you're going to be. When I was there and I was saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You think I was saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No. It was as loud as I could say it, as long as I could say it, as much as I could say it. I had a reason to thank him. And I was not going to hold it in, didn't care who else heard. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's number one. So praise before the throne of God is wow. You put every, see,
If I had 1,000 mouths on my body, if my flesh was there, every mouth would be praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everything about me, my whole existence, wanted to praise the Lord. So before the throne, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Before the throne, you've got millions of beings. Not a few. Millions of beings. And some of them have been there a long time. How long? I can't tell you. I just knew they've been there a long time. And the Father's sitting on the throne. And remember, He is the throne and life is going on. You got these angels going around, or these seraphims and other beings going around saying, "Holy, holy, holy, thou art holy." And you got this group of beings before the throne. And then you got the crystal, what we call the crystal sea. And it's alive. It ain't dead. It's alive. It's intelligent. And you've got all these beings, all this just praise. Everything there praises the Lord. But the Bible says everything praises the Lord. Everything here praises the Lord that's alive. That's what the Bible says. Whether they want to or not. But you got all these beings and they're all praising the Lord. And every being there is down on their knees and they're before the Father and and they raise up and they're singing. They're singing. And they just open their mouths and music comes out. When I first said that to somebody, I thought, okay, now I done jumped over the board here. And then I found in Ezekiel when the Lord was making an angel, which was Satan at the time, or Lucifer at the time. He put pipes and drums inside of him. So all he had to do was open his mouth. So that said, okay, yeah, that's reality. It can happen. Okay? Even though he rebelled, that's a whole different story in itself. I got a good understanding of the rebellion. But we won't go there tonight. So they're all down there and they're praising the Lord. And they just, and everybody's voice is important. Even if you can't sing, your voice is important. There's a place. When Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," it's your place. It's not His place. It's not her place. No one can take it. Only you fit in that place. So your voice is, and it's in its place. And it's not competing with anybody else. It's not competing with anybody else's, because everybody else is praising the Lord too. And they're all singing love songs to the Father. Love songs to the Father. And so you have one that would just stand up and then that being would go down and then you might get a million, maybe a, I don't know how many, whole bunch of them. And they just go down and then it would just be so beautiful. The music, I got the music in my head. I can't lose it. What do you mean you can't lose it? It's there. It's inside of me. I heard it. I've tried to hum it. I've tried to toot it. I tried to whistle it. I've tried to do everything I can to get the music out. I haven't yet. I even went over to a friend's house and sat down with him for about 2 hours asking him to play it on his keyboard, something. Seriously. Just to get it out. Not because it's driving me mad, because I wanted to share it. I wanted to give it away. I haven't found yet a way to do that. So all of a sudden, they would be praising the Lord and going down and the music was going and they were singing to the Father. The Father was singing to them. The crystal sea, or what we call the crystal sea, would raise up. Oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry. I kind of go there every once in a while and just get lost. Okay. But the sea would raise up and it would take the music, and as people were singing, it would direct it in a different tone or make it go higher or come down. It literally looked like it was playing the people or the beings. You know, it would make the crystal sea would come up and it would make a hole in the music, or would go in and it would go out a different tone. It was just so beautiful. And it was all for the Father. And what got me was this, because I didn't know this until later on, and I read in Zechariah. Is it Zechariah? Zechariah, I think it was. See, I didn't want to accept this when I first heard it because I thought, no, this couldn't really be happening, Father, because I've never really read anything like that in the Bible. See? And there was another song that was being sung. And it was the Father singing to each and every being how much He loved them. Personally, He would sing, and the music would go directly to you, and it would be alive. You could walk on it. You could hold it. Do you understand what I mean? You could dance with it. It would be alive. And then in Zephaniah, it talks about how Jesus would sing over His people. So it's kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm not going crazy on this one. You know? And that's the praise before the Father. Will you get tired? No. You won't get tired of praising the Father. Sometimes I know we have other things we need to do in church. But I think sometimes if we just praised Him for hours, not minutes, hours, the glory of the God would be here in such a way that healing would take place and people would be delivered like you've never been before. Because of the praise of the Lord. I'm not saying the other things are not important. I just know there, that praise is so important. One last thing. Can I do one more?
Sure.
Okay.
You ain't
stopping now. One last thing. I just want to make sure. There's so much. It would be like you coming into this church right now. Anybody coming into this church. And then someone that later on asking you to describe it. You know, you've got these banners over here. And you've got the window up there. And you got the soundboard back there. You got how many pews? Someone would say, well, how many pews are there? Do you understand what I mean? And it's in your mind. And then you would have to go over it and try to remember all this stuff. I don't really have to try to remember it because it's so much imprinted in me. I have to find the word to describe it. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay? But I didn't believe. I believed that once our family members died, they kind of forgot us. They got up there to heaven, those that got saved, and were saved, and that was it. When I was there, Jesus, like I said, was right here, 10 or 11 o'clock. And there's a crescent around Him of beings, and it was a multitude of beings. You had a multitude of beings here before Jesus, and you had a multitude of beings before the throne. All right? And on the other side of the multitude were my family members, my grandparents, my aunt, friends that I knew that had died. I didn't know my aunt made it, to be honest with you. I didn't know. According to my calculations, she shouldn't have made it. I'm being honest with you. Okay? But she made it. And many of us, we've counted people out too. I was going to say, there's a lot of people there that you didn't think would make it. And then there's some people you thought would make it that didn't make it. See, it's Jesus in the heart. What got me in there was He was in my heart, or He was in my spirit. See? And they were waiting for me. And I thought they forgot us. I really did. I thought once they got there, happy, yeah, you guys down there, we up here, okay, that's your problem. We don't have no problems. You know? But they were waiting for me. And they were smiling. Oh, did they ever smile? They were shiny. Jesus and the Father are bright. They shiny. They shiny. When I say shiny, I mean shiny. They were shiny. And I knew that if I got past Jesus, which He didn't let me get past Him, that they would have gave me a hug, whatever that was. And I realized how important our family members are to our loved ones that are with Jesus right now. And how much He wants us, if you are a born-again person, knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your family, you need to reach out to your family, no matter how hard it is to reach out to them. I didn't golf. Didn't like golfing. Thought it was boring. Anybody golf around here? Okay. Well, I thought it was boring, to be honest with you. I like fishing. That ain't boring either, but... But when I came back, I decided to take up golf because my brothers, which don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, my dad that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all golf. They golf. That's what they like to do. So I went out on the golfing range and learned how to hit balls. Spent a lot of time out there. And we got to go home for Christmas to visit my parents down in California. And I got to go golfing with my dad and my two brothers and their children. We don't have anything else in common. Do you guys understand? This is the first time that I've got to be around them and be who God has called me to be. And I made an impact on them. My son is going on a mission trip in about a week, going to Peru. And my brother, right underneath me, he ain't never gave no money to nobody's church for nothing. I'm telling you the truth. You know what I mean? He even questioned this whole thing about me going to heaven and coming back. He said, that type of thing. But when we got back here and he found out my brother's going on this mission trip, he gave him $100 to go on the mission trip. My son, to go on this mission trip. We impacted him. My dad started talking more about Jesus now than he's ever talked about Jesus. You know, he even said to me, "Son, I'm reaching out to his hands. I just don't know how to grab it yet." See, God has put us here in these families, no matter how much they get on our nerves, and they do. Now, how much time we would like to shut that door and lock it and go the other way and forget all about them. Do you understand what I mean? God has put us to impact our families. I've reached out to lots of people outside of my family. A number of them came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it would be a shame. Now, my mom knows Jesus too. But it would be ashamed that if I'm the only boy, the only son, that makes it into heaven and the rest of those three go to hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? It would be a shame if you're the last person in your family to make it into heaven and the rest of them go to hell. See, I saw my family members there. I saw them there. They didn't forget me. They still loved me. They just don't just love me. They want their whole family there. They don't want us to leave none of them out, even that uncle that nobody thinks is any good. That alcoholic or that drug addict on the street. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I know it's hard. But we are put into our families to reach them, to be the light we're supposed to be. And I know for us, sometimes it's hard to be the light in that family. Easy to be the light everywhere else, but in that family... I have a grandson that told my mother-in-law that he left his religion up here when he left. You know what I mean? Because he was a real good Christian when he was up here with me and my wife. But when he went back down there and had to deal with his brother and his mom, I left that stuff up there. You know, he's 9 years old. I'm saying that's how we are sometimes with our own family members. See, Jesus loves everybody. He doesn't want one person to go to hell. And if you're putting your family, I know some of you said, "Dean, you're asking." I'm not asking you anything. The Father is. Whew. I can step aside. The Father is. You tell him why you can't reach out to your family. Don't tell me. Don't give me all the excuses. Give him those excuses. Because I'm going to tell you something. See, they go to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is no purgatory. There is no buying your way out of it. There is no halfway place. They go to hell. That's where they end up at. And I'm going to tell you something. Someone asked me, they said, I told them, I said, "Well, I'll stay here another 45 years maybe." And they said, "Well, what if God keeps you here longer than 45 years? I said, "Great, I get to bring more people with me." But I'm going to tell you something. Whether it's 45 years or 100 years, it's still short compared to eternity. Short. This is a very short life here on earth. Some of you think it's long. But it ain't that long compared to eternity. So what would you rather have? A little stuff down here with your family and you're getting them saved and going to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Or I have to watch them go to hell? Because you're going to be there to greet them. And some of them are going to be turned away. Good thing about it, God's going to fulfill that area that's going to be lacking. Jesus does that. I asked him. Do we get sad and we just mope? No, he said, I fulfill that area. But you're going to watch him go. You're going to watch him go. The other thing is that many of those people, my grandmother prayed for many people in my family to be saved. And she died years ago, 1982, 84, somewhere around there. But she prayed for my brothers and my mom and my dad and everybody to be saved. We were not Christians. We didn't know Jesus Christ. We didn't go to church. Parents dropped me and my brothers up at the door on Sunday mornings. Well, Easter Sunday morning. You understand what I mean? Put us in a nice suit and dropped us off. And they drove off in the car when we went in. That's the only church we knew. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's how they did us. My grandmother prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and then I came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right? How many of your grandparents, how many of your relatives been praying for you to talk to those in your family about the Lord Jesus Christ? See? And I'll guarantee you one thing. You know why I can guarantee it? Because I know the love of the Father. See, the Father is pure love, pure life, and pure light. That's what he is. That's what he is. Okay? And as soon as anybody in your family's heart makes that move toward Jesus, he's there. Doesn't take very much. It even tricks you sometimes, and you won't think they really got saved, but they did. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They really accepted Jesus Christ. Some of you were those people. Ain't that what they say in Ephesians? You were like some of them. Yeah. Galatians, weren't you like some of them?
Yeah.
That's what it says, ain't it? Yeah. Don't forget that. As I said, Pastor, you can come up. As I said, we got CDs, about 100 of them, and you can go back and get them. It's up to you. You know what I mean? There's two of them. There's part one and part two. Marilyn's part, which is called Pressing In. And mine is part two, which is You Did This For Me. You know, because Jesus Christ did it. And so you can go get them. I did not get to cover all of it. Can I? You probably say yes, because you're a pretty nice guy. he is a really nice pastor, you guys. I'm not just saying that just to get on his good side. See, I know that I get to go back home someday. I'm not going to be rude to people or mean to people, but being nice to people, I don't have to be nice to gain anything. You guys understand what I mean? Okay. But any of you that would like, for me and my wife, we did this with one family, and I feel like we need to offer it to you. I just feel like the Spirit of God wants me. One of our people that we know gathered all their grandchildren, their children, their husband, and asked us to come and sit down with them, and we did for about 3 hours, and they asked all the questions they wanted to ask, and they heard the whole story. Any of you that would want us to come and do that, we would be there. All right? And I'm telling you that now because I know our time is going to be booked up because people are asking us to come. But our job is to get the story out, period. And we're going to get it out. Bottom line. So anybody that wants me and my wife come and sit down with any of their family members, even an atheist. Someone asked me, well, what if they don't believe you? That's okay. It's still true. I mean, it's still true. I don't have to try to convince them. It's truth. I would rather have them know now than later on because they're going to find out. But anyone here that would like us to come, we would come, me and my wife, and we would sit down with your family or your group or whoever it is. And I don't think I've probably offered, I don't know, God may have me offer to other churches too, but this is the first church we've ever offered this to. for whatever reason, Pastor. You know, and that's not to try something new. It's to answer your questions. That's all. So, thank you for your time. And, oh, just one more thing. I have not regretted coming back. See, when Jesus said, it's not your time, go back, I felt like a soldier. Yes, sir. I felt like he said, you're more important to me now on this side than this side for right now. When my time is up, then I go home. Mm-hmm. And I have not said in my head yet, Father, when are you going to take me out of this place? you understand what I'm saying? I just want you to know that. So don't think I'm sad. And, oh, no, I cried for my time. When he said, go home, I went. And I literally became, when he said, go back, I became to go back. Those words came inside of me. And I became to go back. And you received me. You received me as the person that was sent back. So each and every one of you that's here, you're not here by accident. You're here because God sent me to tell you what I've told you. Personally. So, yeah.